Log Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. Thanks for joining us today. I think our little bit of our music is. Let me adjust that. Angela had a little bit of a technicality also, so I'm going to come on until she gets here. We hope you're having a fabulous Sunday, and today we have a treat for you. Our special guest speaker and life business coach, Pat Graham, is going to join us today. Angela, are you here, hon? Oh, well, let me go on since she's having here. Before we bring Pat on, we want to share with you a little bit about our special guest speaker. Pat's been a life and business coach for over 30 years. Her specialty has always been in teaching and coaching people on how to get more of what they want and less of what they don't want, which is a great thing, using law of attraction. Throughout her career, she's coached tens of thousands of people on implementing these teachings into their lives. And one of the ways that LOA was utilized in a major manifestation most deliciously was back in the spring of 2004, where both of us, as collaborators with several others, came together and using deliberate intentions, laws of attraction manifestation, founded an online community called PowerfulIntentions.com. And this community at the time was also home to the official forum of The Secret, the movie, the best-selling book by Rhonda Byrne. So between the years of 2004 and 2008, we attracted over 200,000 members. And in the spring of 2008, it moved and became part of the Ning community where it currently resides. Pat expanded her work off-site of PI to a website, and here's her website link, is http://theartofliving.com. That's theartofliving.com. I love what she has to say about her work of intention for that site and the forum. She says that it provides the best tools and resources all in one place to support people in putting the teachings of law of attraction into their lives effortlessly and in a fun manner. And over the years, as mentoring many, many people through her one-on-one coaching and live workshops, this additional site allows her to reach a lot more people than she could in any other fashion. And she hopes you get lots of fun from it. Well, based on my personal experiences and observations with others throughout the PI community and a couple other communities where we originally met, I can testify that a lot of people have received a lot more value and a lot from her mentoring and her assistance. I personally met Pat and her husband, Eli, back in 2002 through another community. We actually came together and had a lot of fun together. And over the last 7 or so years, I've had the privilege of being friends with Pat and with Elon. And what I love mostly, especially about them, is they're not only are they very down to earth, they're also such a riot to be with. I mean, their sense of humor has me kind of sometimes snorting like a pig. So knowing what I know about her and knowing what the benefits, and I've benefited as well, about her unique energy and gifts, it's such a pleasure having her grace us with her presence today, and I'm really happy. Angela and I are both really happy that her schedule's opened up to include this conversation and this call. And we believe that those listening today with us will benefit about what she's going to be sharing. And also, at the end of the conversation today, we will be taking, including questions or comments from our listeners. And I think Angela finally is on. Are you here, honey? Let me see if I can get her on our switchboard. I think she said she's here, so let me see. Oh, there she is. Okay.
I'm here.
I'm so glad, sweetie.
I'm sitting over here panicking. I'm going, oh, my God.
So the technology does need real live members, huh? It's not always the people behind the curtains. It can't do everything automated. Well, without further ado, thanks, Angela. I'm so glad you're here, honey. Without further ado, we're going to bring Pat on. Pat, are you here?
I am here, and thank you for such a warm welcome. I am pleased to be here. I'm glad that Angela has joined
us. Hi, Pat. No, I wasn't going to abandon you guys.
How's it
go with that?
It is going fantastically. Oh, my goodness. We're having such a great weekend. How about you guys?
That's great. That's great.
Well, it's a little muggy here, so I don't know how it is out in where Angela is, but I have been enjoying some moments of school weather, is what I call it when it gets a little chilly in the mornings, and I'm like, whew, I like that, because then I don't have to have, like, you know, I can put a jacket on or off.
Mm-hmm. No, it's warm out here. It's warmer than, from what I understand, it's warmer than usual. A couple of days ago, it got up to like 107, so.
Oh, my. That's melting weather.
I was inside all, I didn't even open the door. I was so afraid that I was just going to melt as soon as I opened my front door.
Woo! Well, we're hoping all the weather conditions all around the universe right now are busily, happily doing whatever they're meant to do. So we'll kind of segue into our LOA conversation today.
Yeah. In our description, we shared that you've been working with LOA, Pat, the Law of Attraction, since the 1970s. And on your site, you have a story of how you began experiencing the Law of Attraction. The story just tickles me to death. Can you share a little bit with us about what that story is and what you were doing there?
Yes. I mean, I can remember the day as if it was yesterday. I was a waitress in a pretty decent Italian restaurant. I mean, they had candlelight and tablecloths, and it was a pretty nice restaurant. And back in the early 70s, you know, even in this very nice restaurant, two people could have a pretty nice meal with a glass of wine for about $10 total.
Mm-hmm.
And so my tip was typically about $1. So at the end of the 5 or 6 hour shift, I would have a wad of dollar bills, and I would count them out, and you know, I was pleased and grateful for what I got. And then one night, there was a young couple that left me a $5 bill. I was like, wow. I mean, it was so extraordinary. I'd worked there for years, and it was so extraordinary. I was like, wow, I got to do more of that. I don't know what it was. And so the very next day, leading up to my shift, which was to start about 5 o'clock that night or what have you, I kept imagining, what if I had wads of $5 bills instead of single-dollar bills? How cool would that be? And I just started imagining what, you know, fun it would be to you know, pull all my bills out of my waitress apron pocket at the end of the day, and instead of single bills, it'd be $5 bills. And then I started, you know, imagining just as if it happened. And that very night, I went to work again, and instead of single-dollar bills, I had three people leave me $5 bills.
Wow.
I was like, wow, this is like magic. And so I kept doing it, and I kept making more and more money. And then the other waitresses observed that I was counting. You know, we all stood around at the end of the shift and counted our bills and turned our ones into tens or what have you. And they're like, where'd you get all those $5 bills? You didn't have any big tables. And I started sharing my secret with them, and they tried it, and they started making lots of money. So it got to be a big game to see who could manifest all these $5 bills. And, you know, just like today, there were people that were like, oh, you girls are crazy, and they weren't even open to it. But the ones that were open to it, we were making a boatload of money.
Uh-huh. Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, you know, it's interesting, Pat, because I think in the 70s, some of the top money, or like, say, you know, people that were executive money were really about, say, $30,000 to $40,000 a year. And it seemed like a lot back then, but I remember reading a research. So, you know, $1 was pretty good. Well, you could get $1 a tip.
Really?
But $5 probably felt like millionaire money.
It was. I raised two kids alone on that money. Are you kidding me? We had a blast.
Well, you know, one of the pieces that I wanted you to share, too, was and we always kind of talk about this. So share a little bit, like, you know, part of your process. What did it include? Because I think we were talking about a piece that you put in that even enhanced the manifestation, and it was inspired actions. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, there's even today, there's a lot of controversy among people, you know, when they talk about law of attraction is, well, you know, where's the action come in? I mean, you still have to work hard. Well, you know, anytime someone says, well, you have to work hard, they're missing the point of law of attraction. And if you think about my story, you know, the other piece of it, and that second day after my initial revelation was, you know, I could really up the ante here if I gave, like, instead of great service, like exceptional service. You know, so instead of, you know, the way that I normally do things, which was I gave great service, what if I did this? And what if I, you know, what if I started, like, remembering that they had kids and say, how are your kids? And really start breaking into a relationship with some of these people and remembering that they prefer their coffee at exactly after they took their last bite. And I wonder if that would affect it. And I just started experimenting. And as I reflect on it today, that was how inspired action really works. In other words, I had this vision of what I wanted to experience and how I wanted to feel, and this brainstorm of, you know, what if I really, really, really gave the best service in the world? What would that do to you know, make this game even more fun and up my chances of winning? And I was so excited about the action of giving exceptional service that's really where inspired action comes in. You know, when you're really in tune with your intentions, you're going to have these inspired ideas, and that's the action you're looking to take, not action to try and pound something into place.
I love what you just said. You know, thank you for sharing that, because I'll tell you what, I tip really well when people give me that kind of service.
I know, me too. I do also. I do also.
I mean, I go to grocery stores where people are generally sincerely, they make eye contact. And, I mean, I just thought, gosh, I'd like her. You know, it's cool. I'm glad you moved out of waitressing. You know, not that waitressing's a bad thing, but, you know, I'm glad you moved in to expand the coaching part of it. But one of the things that you just kind of, a light bulb went off when you were saying that was the effect of like attracting like, and we'll expand more into that, but I'm thinking as like attracted like, that exceptional service, you know, kind of mirrored the reflection of their exceptional result. And that was really cool how you, you know, they benefited, you benefited, and, you know, wow, that was pretty cool. So when you were just sharing that, I thought about that piece. That was awesome.
That's exactly how it works. I mean, it is a perfect universe.
Well, you know, one of the things. Go ahead. Go ahead, Angel.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say that I got a similar story that I was telling you about this when I first moved to California. I had spent so much money on the trailer and, you know, eating on the way in here, the hotels. And when I got here, we got here and, you know, I had to buy a couple of other things. And I'm like, okay, universe, now we have to have groceries. We got to eat. So I don't know, you know, just maybe one of my, I had an account that I was expecting some money to be in, but not until the 7th. We got here in May 28th, and it wasn't supposed to be until the 7th of June. And I said, okay, you know, put that money in there early. And I kid you not, the next day I was delivering the trailer back to, dropping it off at the place where I was supposed to drop it off at, and I get a phone call from the bank saying that the money was put in the account early. Done, taken care of.
Well, you know, and one of the things that Angela, that just like quickly insert, Angela wanted to go to San Diego or move there a year ago. in 2007. I mean, no, in 2008. And so when it came back around and she started talking about even going for vacation, I said, Angela, just put it out there that you want to go on vacation. And everything lined up, and she went on vacation, and she didn't want to leave. Is that true? You don't want to leave.
True.
So I said, Angela, Divine Universe says now is the time. Regardless of the appearances, move out there. Because when she started describing it energetically, I felt like I was in her experience. I mean, that's how powerful the energy was. So I'm not surprised the money moved in to validate that passion for you.
Yeah.
And I want to add that piece to it because she took the inspired action of moving, regardless of where the money was moving and shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her inspired action to actually listen to herself and listen to her heart, everything when she got there, even though it appeared that things weren't, you know, aligning up, when she asked again, based on her taking that inspired action, that moved into place. So I kind of wanted to put that piece in there.
Yeah.
Because that really completed that circle, and it was a powerful, it's a powerful experience for her to share.
Yeah, it was powerful for me, too, because even though I know it every time something like that happens, I'm still always amazed and appreciative, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's such an exciting story, and I love the story, you know, about the money showing up early, you know.
And that's what I asked for. I said, you know, I know it's not, you know, due until the 7th, but can you please bring it early? And the next day, I get a phone call, which was weird. Because I'm going, why am I getting who knows why? Who cares why? But I got a phone call. I just got that phone call, and my friend Joanne was in the car, and I just told her about that before. And I said, yes. And she said, what? And I told her what happened. She was like, you have got to be kidding me. I'm like, nope. Not kidding.
Amazing.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Well, you know, let's talk about that whole thing about moving on with this, that segue. It's a great one. You know, Pat, one of the things I love about you is that no matter what you change in your professional or personal life, you continue to recreate success over and over with anything you put your heart and mind to. And I think right now, with all the transitions that's happening in the world, this is really relevant because it's connected to that ability of creating a reality where true success can easily manifest, regardless of the appearance of the change or what may be unfolding around people. And that's kind of like the success that Angela just shared. And it's one of the reasons Angela and I really wanted you to be here to talk about that. But before we talk about that recreating success, I wanted to focus a bit about the part of the process that you were talking about, what may not work or what doesn't work when people try to have, you know, try to manifest and say, oh, it's not working. And, you know, those of us that worked in this healing session kind of know that part that doesn't work is still part of the process. And a lot of people have mental judgment, it seems, around what doesn't work, and that focus kind of goes, you know, it gets a little intense. I know that if we participate in this, it is part of the process. And so before we talk about that, Angela, you wanted to share with her a little bit about the EFT because you were telling me. What were you going to say about EFT because we're going to bring that up?
Yeah, before we talk about this, I have heard about EFT before, but I guess I've heard about it, and wasn't kind of hadn't looked into it all that much, but I have a question that about the whole thing. Like, if you would, Pat, share a bit more about what EFT means and how does this technique support the law of attraction, and how someone would use it, and when would be a good time to use it? How would you know when to use it?
Well, those are some great questions. I stumbled on EFT right after I saw the movie What the Bleep. There were some things in that movie that confirmed what I already knew about law of attraction, but then there was something that I could not get out of my mind after seeing that movie, and that was the fact that they said in that movie we are addicted to our emotions. And what happens is when we have this negative emotion or an emotion that doesn't feel good or a situation that happens to us that doesn't feel good, we tend to run that movie over and over and over in our minds. Uh-huh. And what that does is it ingrains in us a belief about that particular subject matter. And it happens even as we're children. So, for example, it could be a situation where, you know, a child is 5 or 6 years old and they ask for a toy and one of their parents or caregivers happens to say something along the lines of, you know, money doesn't grow on trees. You know, or what do you think, I'm made of money?
I remember that one. Or you have to work hard for your money.
Yeah, you know. I mean, when are you going to get a job? You need to get a job if you want. You know, what do I look like, the bank?
All of that sounds so familiar.
Or it could be something not specific to money, but very much related to your ability to use law of attraction to manifest money. And it could be something along the lines of, you know, what have you done to deserve, you know, X? You know, why do you think you deserve to have fun when you haven't done your chores? You know, you've got to get, you know, you've got to work hard to get ahead in life. No pain, no gain.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all very common things that people share with us as we're growing up that become the beliefs by which we run our lives. And if you know anything about law of attraction, all of those beliefs are not really how the world works. But in that instant that we're first told that, it's ingrained in us. You know, there's the way I look at it is our brain is similar to a computer where there's various files. And what happens is that information is filed in those, you know, areas of our brain. And then when that subject comes up again, you know, let's say the subject's money comes up, it's like, oh, I know something about money. Let me pull out this file. Well, okay, here's everything I know about money. And that is where all of this information that we run our life is filed, and that's what we believe. Therefore, when we hear that law of attraction is based on asking and then receiving, the middle part of that is the asking and receiving is in place, but the belief has to be there that it's on its way. And if you've got contradicting beliefs, then it's not going to be on its way.
Okay. Yeah, what you just said, finish that, because I was, you know, you just like, ooh, I just got something about that. Go ahead. Keep going.
You know,
I'm getting excited.
You've got this yes but going on. It's like, well, yes, it's supposed to be on its way, but what about all these things? And you've got a contradiction, and it's not just in, you know, stored in your brain, but your belief about how the way the world works is where you last left it. So unless you clean up that belief or clear up the belief that you have on that subject, that's going to be in place. It doesn't matter how much you intend or create visuals or goal boards or any of that. That's still going to be in place unless you do something about it. And that's where EFT comes in.
And so,
you know, go ahead, Angela. Go ahead, honey.
Well, it's your emotion. You can say outwardly all you want that, you know, well, I believe this, I believe that. But if your emotions are not in line with your what you're saying or what you're thinking or what your head is trying to manifest, then it's a contradictory statement. Is that what you're saying? Am I getting that right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So affirmations, and that's a very important point you're making, Angela, because affirmations can be damaging. I mean, a lot of people teach, oh, you just need to affirm success. You need to just to say, I am the perfect weight. You know, I am slim, I am trim, I am beautiful. But if you go to the mirror and you look in the mirror and you go, oh, my gosh, are you kidding me? I mean, who do you think you're kidding? Look at you. Then you're actually affirming what your belief, your core belief is. Now, some people say, well, you can rewrite that belief by saying it over and over and repetitively. And that may look good on paper, but that's not how it works. You've got to rewrite, I mean, use some system of rewriting those files, because otherwise they're still going to be there and they're still going to show up, and you're actually going to be affirming the yes, but, you know, the, you can say, you know, I am wealthy. I have $50,000 a year in income coming in consistently without a job, blah, blah, blah. But your mind is going, yeah, but, mm-hmm. yeah, but. And you're actually affirming the yeah, but instead, and that's the problem.
Well, you know, just like what you said, before we go, I just wanted to give a shout-out to Ellie One and Queen of Pearls. Thank you for joining us on our chat lines. Thank you for being here with us. And if you have any questions, please feel free. We're going to have a little segment of any questions or comments that you want to share. So if you want to put it on that on the chat line, we'll be happy to convey that to Pat or have her answer those as well. But, you know, what, even taking that step further, you know, I got this visual, Pat, about what you said about the hard. If you have that belief about it being hard, and then all of a sudden somebody says you can just receive, it's almost like, ooh, but if I have to receive it hard, I don't want it.
That's right.
You know, if I have to receive it like this way, screw that. And so, you know, I mean, I just got that moment when you said that. I'm going, oh my gosh, that's
yep.
it's like not it even beyond it changing. It, you know, like you just said about releasing the hard thing and the way that, you know, we see people, seems like they get things they receive things effortlessly. Well, they've got that belief, or they've changed their belief that it can come in effortlessly. And that kind of has to be grooved in there, rewritten. That step has to be in there in order to release that other belief.
Exactly.
So that was really cool, because I was a rebel. And, you know, I remember affirmations, and I'm going, what the? You no, thank you, because my little record player says, you know, so who am I going to honor, you know?
Right.
It was, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I understand now what that's all about, because before I would read it and I had a hard time understanding it, but that this clears a lot of stuff up for me as far as EFT is concerned.
Yeah, the way that EFT works is it helps to release those energy disruptions. I mean, human body is an energy system. Not just blood, skin, and bones. And what EFT actually stands for Emotional Freedom Technique. A lot of people are calling it meridian tapping these days. But we're using a gentle tapping technique with your fingertips to stimulate some of the same traditional Chinese acupuncture points. So it's kind of like acupuncture without the needles. But what it does is it balances that energy block that those, you know, those ingrained belief systems, they actually become lodged not just in your brain but throughout your body. Because as a child, you're born with a natural feeling of well-being, and when you start experiencing all these negative beliefs that are contrary to what you knew when you first came into this physical experience,
mm-hmm.
it's traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually becomes an energy blockage throughout your body. And the process of tapping on those various meridian points releases those energy blocks so that you don't have that same charge to those beliefs that you have when you try and think them in a new way. So, for an example, you might think, oh, you know, every time I try and lose weight, you know, let's use that analogy for a minute. You know, every time I try and lose weight, nothing works. Well, there's a variety of reasons why that doesn't work. First of all, when you have lost something, your mind immediately goes to look for it. So if you
That's
lose
true.
Weight,
we want to find something.
That's right. So when you lose weight, your body wants to, you know, your mind is like, oh, you lost something. Let's go find it. And
let's
that's why,
it.
That's one of the reasons why you tend to put it back on again, because your brain is set up to make you right. The other thing is most eating is emotional eating. So because you are lacking in some emotional part of you, you tend to eat or feed those negative emotions.
Oh, you know, that's a great point about what you said about releasing. So if it doesn't work and you've got doesn't work in there and you hit that charge, you know, like in the process, and it hasn't been released, that doesn't work hasn't been released, you will, the more that you try to push that with that block in there, and I've personally experienced this, it's like your body goes and says, no way, and you almost like you want to start binging.
That's
because
right.
That charge is in there still. So it's actually having the opposite effect because that's still that belief is still in there. And I like what, you know, Queen of Pearls wanted to add. It's like EFT is like deleting the files off the hard drive. It's the expert that helps you delete the files so that they can be rewritten. I don't like what she said. You know, we could use that technique.
Excellent.
I like that explanation.
Yeah, so thank you for that great insight, Queen of Pearls, because I thought, yeah, that's a great visual. Well, you know, one of the things, Pat, when we talked about this, so going into the EFT, I like that when we had gotten together about this, is that you were talking about tapping anger out.
Mm.
And that's a big woo, no, anger.
Ooh.
Can you share, you know, that technique works perfectly with that?
Yes. again, as you know, when we're young, we're taught that you cannot show your temper, you cannot show anger.
Yeah.
You know, you need to behave yourself. You're not supposed to act like that. Little girls, you know, nice little girls don't act like that.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your room till you learn how to act.
And the key word here is act, because you do learn how to act.
That's
later
exactly
on. You're
right.
Never yourself after that.
That's right. So, you know, now when people are learning about how the emotional guidance system, which, you know, was introduced by Abraham Hicks a few years back, you know, they may learn that anger is on there and it's at the bottom of the emotional guidance scale. In other words, there's various emotions, and we are here to experience joy. I mean, we came into this physical experience to live a life of joy.
Mm-hmm.
And on our way to that, because of the experiences that we've had throughout our lifetime, it's not always joyful. And in order to manifest the things that you want, you need to at least be a vibrational match to, you know, what it is that you're wanting to have, and to be in some state of receiving, which means that you're feeling good about it, or at least feeling good about life in general, even if you're not
mm-hmm.
focusing on that subject matter, but at least feeling good about life in general. So one of the emotions is anger, and it's along the same lines of fear or powerlessness, depression. And anger really serves us because it helps us to know, first of all, that our emotional guidance system is telling us something. It's telling us that we are not connected to what it is that we're wanting to attract and what it is that we came here to experience.
Which
so
is
need,
joy.
Yes.
Okay.
So we need to honor that. And the best way to honor that is to accept I feel angry right now. I mean,
yeah.
I am mad as hell. You know, mm-hmm. I feel angry about what has happened, or the condition of my finances, or the condition of, you know, the working environment, whatever it is. The best thing to do is to honor that, because until you honor that, you're in denial.
Right.
And
it's going to keep, it's going to haunt you.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to push away joy. You know, just even us saying, I am angry, like right now, I am angry, it's almost like we are honoring the I am inside us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and in this world, we will have all range of emotions. So, and I don't know why anger has gotten the bad rap, but it has. And part of it, I think, Pat, what you said, as children, we were told in so many words and not so many words, you know, actions and in words, anger was a bad thing to express.
Most of the time we were punished.
Yes, or punished, exactly,
yeah.
Because it felt, because whatever, you know, whoever before us made up that it was bad, they react. That's how, that was their stuff. But, you know,
exactly.
As children, we don't know that it's their stuff.
Well, see, what I would do, what I learned how to do, which kind of caught up with me when I was in my 28, 29, I learned how to set it up. And, you know, when I was upset, not to cry, because crying was seen as being weak. So then I couldn't release my emotions by crying, you know, which I would do whenever I would get just mad or angry. It was a way to help me relieve. And so, you know, I was told, what are you crying for? You know, why this is trivial. You shouldn't be crying. You know, you're just a baby. And so I learned how to kind of squash that. But it caught up with me when I was 29 years old, because I remember it was just one day where because I wasn't supposed to show my emotions, I had let things build up over time. And one day, very little things kept happening, and the last little thing that happened, just I couldn't hold it in anymore, and the only thing I could think to do, because I was with my mother, was to cry. And I wanted to hit something, and I wanted to, you know, beat up my steering wheel, but the only thing I could do was cry, and it scared the mess out of her. And I remember then I said, you know what? If I don't own my emotions, I'm going to end up somewhere in a mental institution, because I almost really had a nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was all those years, 29 years, of not wanting to show my emotions because I would be seen as being weak, you know, or not being able to handle things. After that, I'm like, you know what, I give up. And so now, even in front of my kids, when we got here, I mean, I knew I was supposed to make the move, but I knew I was going to have some emotional clearing. And my friend kept trying to get me out. You know, she was like, well, you know, let me, she kept trying to do things for me so that I wouldn't be upset. And I told her, I said, you know what? I need to do this. So I'm going to go to my car right now, and I'm going to cry. Because I can't, you know, everybody trying to make me feel better is not helping me. I'm not feeling bad about anything. It's old stuff that I need to release. And I sat in the car, and I cried for about 30 minutes, and then after that I was fine.
Well, that's a great revelation on your part, because that's part of the limiting beliefs that we pick up along the way. And what's interesting about that, Angela, is that in reality, if we've learned to squelch our emotions like you did, we not only squelch the quote-unquote negative emotions, but we squelch the positive ones too, and we become walking zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're on an even keel and we're not feeling much of any emotion at all.
Yep.
So, you know, Pat, this is a great segue about EFT and LOA. You know, nature abhors a vacuum. And when you tap, tap, release, what are your thoughts about what are you replacing it with? You know how you like you're releasing through the EFT, then what's next? As far as, you know, LOA, or, you know, what's that next step? And by the way, everyone, you can go to Pat's website that we did post on our Blog Talk Radio. We'll have it on our post show notes. And let me go up here, Pat, because it's the art. Can you share the art of livingthesecret.com? And you do have some EFT videos and stuff on there. Yes, Pat?
Yes, I did them a couple of years ago before I knew much about technology. So, you know, I've gotten some feedback that people would prefer that I use a microphone or what have you. But I was in such an inspired action that if I had waited to get all this technology in place, I probably would have never done the video.
Well, you can talk, you know, for everyone that's listening to this, you're welcome to ask Pat for her updated version as well. But will you share a little bit about that? Because I know when nature abhors a vacuum, you know, there's a sense that you're clearing that space out with EFT.
Exactly.
And then what's the next step? Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, I love, again, the Abraham Hicks Emotional Guidance Scale, and I recommend that people print that out when you're going to use EFT or whatever process you're going to use to help yourself feel better about a particular subject matter. So let's say you're feeling anger. You know, the best thing to do is just, first of all, give it a voice. Because that information is walking around in your head anyway. You've got this endless tape running of, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, every time I turn around, this is happening. This is the same thing over and over. How come everybody else has all the money and I can't attract money? How come I've been studying this for years since The Secret came out and I still don't have it down? You know, how come things are getting worse instead of better? And you're already saying that stuff anyway in your head. And I recommend that you just take the EFT process and just say it out loud while you're tapping on those various meridian points, mostly on the, you know, the tapping points are listed on my website, but, you know, while you're using that, and you'll find that after you have done what I call a rant about whatever it is that's upsetting you, if you look at the Abraham Hicks Guidance Scale again, you'll see that you have actually moved up. You could have moved up to blame, you know, which is, you know, a few steps up from anger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, well, you're not feeling this strong anger. Now you're feeling blame, which feels better than anger.
Anger. Mm-hmm.
So now you're like, all right, who can I blame for this, you know? But you're actually rewriting that hard drive or those files that you have around this subject matter. You're releasing all that old, outdated information, and you're releasing it not just on a mental level, but on a physical level, because, again, the mind and the body are connected. So the next time you go to think about that subject matter, you'll find that you don't have that charge and you won't be triggered about that because you have released, as you said, nature abhors a vacuum. You've released all that negative energy that you've picked up along the way about that subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
And once you have experienced some relief on that subject matter, you'll find that things start moving for you. Things that you've been, you know, hoping to expect or wanting to expect or intending will start happening now because you've cleared your energy system to some degree.
Yeah, and I'm going to say hi to Arya. Thanks for joining us. She was thinking about tapping. She heard it. As a recap to some people that may have just stepped in, we're tapping to using EFT techniques to release any blocks of energy or suppressed energies, just old beliefs, concepts, and stuff that come and become stuck energies in our body so that the universal law of attraction and manifestation can flow a lot easier and we can actually be the creator of our realities in a much easier manner without all that old emotional, mental blocks not being able to flow. It keeps us from what we want, which is to be in the now and to live in it with more ease and joy. And that's Pat's has huge success with these techniques, and so she's sharing that with us, Arya. And, you know, one of the things that Queen of Pearls said, Pat, she was so funny, she says, she has this great visuals, not releasing her feelings is like putting them in an emotional credit card. Sooner or later, she has to pay with interest.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that a great visual? It's like, yeah, baby.
Oh, that's hysterical. I love that.
I know. It was great. Oh, my gosh. So I love this, Pat, about Law of Attraction. Can you share Abraham Hicks? For anyone that is not as familiar with that work, can you talk about that guidance system a little bit and how much you appreciate using that with that Esther and Jerry and their Abraham Hicks? Can you share that with us, with everyone?
Yes. actually, it was before the movie The Secret came out, someone had introduced Abraham Hicks to me, and there was a big light bulb that went off. I have a copy of Think and Grow Rich on my bookshelf, which I've had for a zillion years, and I had read that over and over and over and over, and what occurred to me after I met, after I started working with Jerry and Esther Hicks' work, was that book in the very beginning says, as you read this book, and I'm paraphrasing, but as you read this book, you'll find that there is a secret in every chapter, and your job is to find the secret.
Whoa.
So I had read that over and over, and I swear I could not find anything. I looked to see if there were words repeated, and I have a pretty analytical mind when I have to use it, you know. So, you know, I took every chapter and looked to see if there was any words that were repeated in every chapter. I mean, I really could not believe that I could not figure out what the secret was. And I had talked to numerous people. Did you figure out what the secret is? I mean, this book is only 60 pages long or so. I mean, where could it be hidden? Not that big a book. And I never did meet anybody.
Oh, my gosh.
I figured
funny.
Out what it was. And then when I started studying Jerry and Esther's work, I realized, I mean, they shared with us the fact that we are vibrational beings. They also shared, after the movie The Secret came out, the fact that Napoleon Hill's editors had those removed, had all instances of the word vibration removed from that book before it was published.
Oh. Ah, no wonder.
So
I
that
could go back and look at my book,
go to the current versions, I happen to get my hands on the original version that does have the word vibration in there, but all the published versions since, I mean, there was very few that were original versions, but all the masses of people that have the typical Think and Grow Rich on their bookshelf have the edited version, and the word vibration is nowhere to be found in there, so they had edited it out. That's why you couldn't find the secret, because it has been edited out.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm glad that you know, we're moving into you know, being able to incorporate the language of vibrations, frequencies into our language in the present, in the 21st century, because we can kind of move away from that good, bad, right, wrong, positive, negative.
Yeah.
I know that's you know, been around a while. But when you work with Abraham, haven't you found, Pat, that the low, like, everything is okay? All the vibrations we have are okay. It's just that when we activate, like, more of that alignment of what we want and we incorporate more of a joy and an ease, it comes faster.
Exactly.
But they don't judge anger and all that other stuff as a negative, do they?
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've used the word negative emotion a couple of times, but I'm using that loosely because, as you said, Val, there are really no quote-unquote negative emotions. There are just emotions that feel bad. And there's really no positive emotions either. If there's no negative, there's no positive.
No positive.
You know, there's just emotions that feel good. So all of our emotions are designed to serve us, to let us know where we are in this journey in any particular moment. We're either in alignment or we're not in alignment. And our emotions help guide us as to where we are so that we can move up the scale.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing that. Ellie came off. She had a phone call. Now she's back. We love it.
Back, Ellie.
And Pat, you have the do you have that emotional the Abraham Hicks guidebook on your site, The Art of the Living the Secret?
Yes, I do have the scale on there for people to use. It came out of their book, Ask and It Is Given. That's an excellent book. All of their work is amazing. I've got all of their books. I absolutely love their teachings. As you mentioned, you know, they come from a loving point where all is well and all really is well.
Yeah.
Well, I love that you've incorporated it because, you know, I'm kind of eclectic. And, you know, I've seen over the years the center of influence. And I think when people really embody it, and I love getting their quotes and stuff, but I also love that you really, like, to embody their work and you use it in your coaching practice. And I've seen the results of people that have worked with you on the forums and stuff, you know, that they really, there's changes that are made. And they don't have to be struggling hard, taking forever changes. And, you know, now that you've, you know, even introduced EFT with people and working with that in your practice, we're coming into a sense in our direction of where we're going where things are speeding up. Time is, like, it feels like we're bending time. And, you know, the longer that I'm here, I feel like things are, like, you know, look at our year. It's already the end of July. And, you know, 2009 is pretty much halfway over. It didn't feel like that, say, 10, 20 years ago. So I love that you have created techniques that can pivot and shift people around this, you know, that they work excellent together. And people don't have to go to psychiatrists and psychologists and dummy down with drugs. I mean, there are needs for those sometimes. You know, I'm not going to say don't go to doctors or even put those down, but these are some really, a lot of easier techniques that you can embody and, you know, be able to use, and you're not paying out weekly thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Well, because if that was the case, you know, I thought about that, you know, back then when I was struggling with my emotions and, you know, holding all this stuff in, I thought, I might need to go and see a psychiatrist. I must be crazy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have to say that, no, I didn't go to a doctor. But because I recognized my emotions for what they were and where I had the blockage and how I needed to work through it, I am so much, I don't get angry anymore. I mean, I don't have those heavy emotions. I was always having these heavy, heavy emotions that just felt like I just couldn't move or do anything. And I don't have those anymore. So it's not everybody, but for me, it worked for me.
Well, one of the things that Abraham says, Angela, and that's, I mean, you must have really cleaned up your vibration on some subjects that have helped you to not dip down into the anger. But one of the things that Abraham talks about is the fact that if we don't honor how we're feeling and work to clean up those vibrations and our beliefs around a particular subject matter, things will keep occurring until we finally do take notice. And oftentimes, you'll find it in emotional or in physical problems. When I first was introduced to EFT, I took a 3-day workshop, and I wanted to really see for myself, you know, is there really something to this? How does it work? And when I came back from this workshop, I started working with this lady on fear of public speaking. So she hired me to help her. She had this talk she needed to do, and she was petrified. So we worked with that, and it just so happened that during the course of the call, she said, hold on one second, my neighbor is at the door. So I said, okay, fine. So she comes back to the phone. She says, oh, I'm so sorry, that's my neighbor. And, you know, she comes over every day to give me a back massage. And I said, why? What's wrong with your back? And she says, oh, I've had this pain all my life. The doctors can't find out what's wrong with me. You know, I've had MRIs, I've had this, I've had that. Nobody knows what's wrong, but it's excruciating. And the only relief I get is she comes over every day and gives me a massage. So we finished the call, and I said, let me ask you a question. I'm pretty new with this. I haven't done anything regarding health, but would you be willing to allow me to work with you on that particular subject to see what we can do? She says, fine. So a couple days later, we had another call, and I said to her, when was the first time you had this back pain? How long have you had it? She's like 20-some years. And I said, well, what was going on in your life? How old were you? She says, I was 10. And she said, what happened was I went up at a tree and I fell, and my brother was 12, and he not only stood there and laughed, but he refused to allow me to tell my parents what had happened because we weren't supposed to be where we were. Mm. She says, I've hated him ever since. So I worked with her using EFT around her hatred and her anger and her grief around lying to her parents. She was upset that she lied to her parents. She had never lied to her parents until that moment, and she still felt ashamed of lying to her parents. And she was still angry at her brother, and within 1 hour, that pain went away, and it has never come back.
Oh, and you know what, Pat, as Louise Hayes talks about the back, the lower back, is that where she was having the pain?
Mm-hmm.
That supports our foundation.
Yep.
It's a metaphor. Queen of Pearls was sharing about, do you use EFT as far as a meditative practice? Pat, do you know of anyone, or have you worked with anyone that kind of uses it in meditation or as a meditative practice?
I'm not familiar with how that might work.
Well, she also came back and she said, to be honest, she's not sure. I'm able to clear my head so I can meditate more easily. And the answer to that, Queen, is whenever you're meditating, I remember when I started, you're going to have things are going to come up in your head. Just don't try to run away from the thought. Acknowledge the thought and then get back to what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep practicing that, and eventually you're going to get to the point where you can meditate without all that noise coming into your head.
Yeah, and Pat, she liked the way that you said you used the crown of your head as a tapping point. She she tapped her crown, but didn't know it was kind of a legal tapping point. But you know what? That would really probably help with mental blocks as well. So that's a great way. And Ellie was sharing that. She said, even with her neck pain, she says to ask herself, who or what is the pain in the neck?
Yes. That's right.
Or have I been a pain in the neck, you know? Hey, I've created my own pain in the neck moments myself, you know, like that inner critic of me has become my own pain in the neck. So.
But that's a great clue. You know, a lot of those funny colloquialisms that we've heard, you know, get off my back, you know, I feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders, you know, pain in the neck, you know, what is it in my life that is a pain in the neck right now?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question.
And
try to figure out what's going on. But
I want to tell you this.
We're coming to an end. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, we are. Oh, gosh, Pat. Will you come back another time so we can start? One of the things I was going to ask is I'd love to get more into some of, you know, based on where you are in coaching, you know, what are some of the things that you see coming in most a lot today? So would you honor us again coming back?
I would love to. This has been great fun. Oh,
please, yes.
Well, I just, you know, Angela, both of us want to thank you so much for coming back, for coming today. Thank you for our listening contributors and our participants, Arya, Ellie, and Queen of Pearls. Thank you for your insights. Everyone else out there that's listening to us, thank you again. You can go to Pat's, and please, if you are looking for a success business coach and this resonates with you, Trust me, she really works it just in even in her personal life. These are things she practices, puts together. But please, by all means, go and seek her out and ask her, you know, how best to get a session with her, because she's wonderful. I can attest as a friend and seeing her work, she really has influenced and benefited so many lives. So, you know, go see her. But she will be at theartoflivingthesecret.com. That's theartoflivingthesecret.com. We'll have this on our post-show notes on our tweakingyourvibrations.com. We so appreciate all of you. Hey, Angela, do you want to share about what we're going to do next week?
Yes. Next week we are going to it's going to be around light body work. Val and I will be having a conversation with a special guest speaker and a friend, Michelle Brookhouse, and she was on before. She's a homeopathic practitioner that also offers several other healing modalities to her clients. The one we will be highlighting is called KMR, which is Karmic Matrix Removal. It's associated with removing any kind of residue around the stuff that we let go of, yet may be getting re-triggered with certain people, places, or things. So on that call, I'll share my own personal story and Val will in connection to a KMR, which I believe can be beneficial to anybody who may resonate with this kind of healing modality. So
yeah, it's a different kind of healing modality. Yes.
Yeah. So until then, thank you guys so much for joining us. I had so much fun today.
I did too. This was kicking up the notches. I loved it. Thank
yeah.
you, Pat. Thanks everybody for joining us. And remember, who you are is more magnificent and grander than anything out in the universe. So shine that light.
thank you, guys.
Everybody, I had a ton of fun.
Thank you,
Pat.
Hugs till next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.